She took a step back on her bare feet, still holding the bag with Trudy's nice Ferragamo low heels and her New York Times inside it.
"Oh, Christ," she said. "Oh, don't that hurt. Mama, you gotta make it stop. It can't come yet, not right out here on the street. You got to make it stop a while."
Trudy tried to raise her voice and yell for a cop. Nothing came out but a small, whispering sigh. The apparition pointed at her.
"You want to get out of here now," she said, "and if you rouse any constabulary or raise any posse, I'll find you and cut your breasts off."
She took one of the plates from the reed pouch. Trudy observed that the plate's curved edge was metal and as keen as a butcher's knife, and suddenly found herself in a struggle to keep from wetting her pants. "Find you and cut your breasts off." And an edge like the one she was looking at would probably do the job. Zip, zoop, instant mastectomy. Oh, dear Lord.
"Good day to you, madam," Trudy heard her mouth saying.
She sounded like someone trying to talk to the dentist before the Novocaine has worn off.
"Enjoy those shoes. Wear them in good health."
Not that the apparition looked particularly healthy, not even with her legs on and her fancy white feet. Trudy walked. She walked down Second Avenue. She tried to tell herself, with no success at all, that she had not seen a woman appear out of thin air in front of 2 Hammarskjöld, the building the folks who worked there jokingly called the Black Tower. She tried to tell herself, also with no success at all, that this was what she got for eating roast beef and fried potatoes. She should have stuck to her usual waffle and egg. You went to Dennis's for waffles, not for roast beef and potatoes. And if you didn't believe that, look what had just happened to her. Seeing African-American apparitions and her bag. Her canvas boarder's bag. She must have dropped it. Knowing better. All the time expecting the woman to come after her, shrieking like a headhunter from the deepest, darkest jungles of Papua. There was a Ningley Tum place on her back. She meant a tingly, numb place. But Ningley Tum was how it actually felt, kind of loose and cool and distant, where she knew the crazy woman's plate would bite into her, drinking her blood and then eating one of her kidneys before coming to rest, still quivering in the live chalk of her spine. She would hear it coming. Somehow she knew that. It would make a whistling sound like a child's top before it chunked into her and warm blood went splashing down over her buttocks and the backs of her legs. She couldn't help it. Her bladder let go. Her urine gushed, and the front of her slacks, part of a tray expensive Norma Kamali suit, went distressingly dark. She was almost at the corner of 2nd and 45th by then. Trudy, never again to be the hard-headed woman she'd once fancied herself, was finally able to stop and turn around. She no longer felt quite so Ningley Tum, only warm at the crotch. And the woman, the mad apparition, was gone. 2. Trudy kept some softball practice clothes, T-shirts and 2 old pairs of jeans, inside her office storage cabinet. When she got back to Gutenberg, Firth, and Patel, she made changing her first priority. Her second was a call to the police. The cop who took her report turned out to be Officer Paul Antasi.
"My name is Trudy Damascus," she said, "and I was just mugged on 2nd Avenue."
Officer Antasi was extremely sympathetic on the phone, and Trudy found herself imagining an Italian George Clooney. Not a big stretch, considering Antasi's name and Clooney's dark hair and eyes. Antasi didn't look a bit like Clooney in person, but hey, who expected miracles and movie stars? It was a real world they were living in. Although, considering what had happened to her on the corner of 2nd and 46th at 1:19 p.m. EDT... Officer Antasi arrived at about 3:30, and she found herself telling him exactly what had happened to her, everything, even the part about feeling Ningley Tum instead of tingly numb, and her weird certainty that the woman was getting ready to throw that dish at her. "Dish had a sharpened edge, you say?" Antasi asked, jotting on his pad, and when she said yes, he nodded sympathetically. Something about that nod had struck her as familiar. But right then she'd been too involved in telling her tale to chase down the association. Later, though, She wondered how she could possibly have been so dumb.